How many of you have one of these? You have one of these? Yeah. Wedding pictures. Wedding pictures. From, and now you got to be kind because this was the late 1970s, okay? So you got to be kind to me. My sweetie's as beautiful as ever, but in my case, you know, things have happened, you know. Hair was different, you know, and just weird stuff, you know, back in the 70s. It was the 70s, remember. Pictures, wedding pictures, and every now and then we'll break these babies out and we'll look at them, you know. We'll go through them, especially along, ooh, say, right about the 1st of August, you know, because that's our anniversary. So we break it out, we look through that, we go over it, we enjoy it all again, you know, that whole wedding thing, you know. It's beautiful, we enjoy that. And I kind of, you know, cover up the one side where my picture is and I can look at her, you know. It's great that way, you know. Why do we keep a hold of things like that anyway, you know? Why do we have stuff like that? Why do we do that? It's so we can remember, right? So we can look back, we can remember, we can recommit, we can refresh that relationship, right? That's why we do these things. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 26. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 26. Very familiar to you. As we go over this, each time we come to communion, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul was reminding the Corinthians what communion was all about. Communion is, again, all about the gospel. That calling us back. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26. Paul sums up why we do this. He says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Notice how it looks back and forward. It looks back to his death and forward to his coming. That's what this communion is all about. Looking back to the death of Jesus, remembering what he has done for us. And Jesus said so, verses 24 and verses 25 there. It tells you each time as Jesus told them what to do, to take and to eat, and that this cup is the new covenant. In each case, verses 24 and 25, Jesus said, "In remembrance of me." And so this is so that we can look back. Jesus wants to remember. Jesus wants us to remember what this is all about. And in our scripture today, the same thought was repeated in our scripture today. Verse 19 of Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Verse 19, "And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" In each case, Jesus wanted us to look back at the photo album and remember. He wanted us to remember what he had done for us. Now you remember the occasion of what Jesus was doing at this time, right? When he instituted the Lord's Supper, he was celebrating the Passover, exactly. He was celebrating Passover, and Passover comes once a year, yes? And yet that's not often enough. We forget too easily what Jesus has done for us. We forget so easily the one who came from heaven, who was there in that perfect place with all the angels at his command, with everything you could ever want, everything you could ever wish for, all the wonders of heaven. And he looked down at this dark speck and saw you and saw me. And he decided, you know what? You're worth it. You are worth it. I am willing to leave all of this because you are worth it. Man, what a great God. What a great God. Because he didn't have to. If he had just closed the book on you and I, it would have been all good with him. It wouldn't have made any difference in terms of whether he would have still been living, breathing, and enjoying the wonders of heaven. But he couldn't enjoy them quite so much knowing that you weren't going to be there. He knew you. He wanted you there with him. And now he's asking us to do this in remembrance of him, to partake of these things, these emblems, these symbols, in remembrance of him, the one who gave himself for us. He took his life, a life that measured with the life of God, knowing no beginning. And he decided there will be a giving up of this life. Can you imagine? I have a tough time thinking about giving up a day for some things, you know? Oh, man. You mean I gotta, just because I own a pickup truck, I gotta go help somebody move. I gotta give up a day, you know? Jesus was willing to give up eternity for you and I. And we're thinking, I gotta give up this or that? I gotta give up a few bucks for somebody to help them? I gotta give up a little time to help someone else? And we begrudge that sometimes. Jesus gave up life itself for you and I. His life for you. His body broken for you. Right here is the emblem we have to remember that. His blood spilled for you. We remember that with this symbol. That's hard to comprehend sometimes. It's hard to think of. Because we're so hard to do that, you know? It's so tough to help us to do that. But he gave it for you. Very often when we're doing foot washing, I like to remember what Jesus did for us. I like to remember what he gave up for us. So oftentimes, in order to make sure my mind stays focused on what we're there for and not talking about this or that, or boy, how about them Raiders, or how about that, you know, whatever football game, or, you know, this or that, March Madness, right? That's the thing today. In order to keep my mind focused on what's really going on and what God really did for me, I like to go back to Isaiah. Huh? Isaiah? Yeah, Isaiah. Turn with me, Isaiah, to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 53. I'm sure you know it very well. Isaiah chapter 53. Are you with me? Isaiah chapter 53. Because this tells the story of Jesus almost 700 years before he was here. Isaiah 53, beginning with verse 4. Let your mind grasp the words. Let it sink in. Let the pictures come into your head of what Jesus did for you and I. Surely, verse 4, surely he has borne our griefs. What was it like for the God who knew no sorrow to bear your grief? What was it like for him to carry our sorrows? What was it like for Jesus to know pain, to know suffering, and not just of the physical kind, but of the spiritual kind, of the emotional kind, of the kind that you feel wrenching in your heart when your children do things, when you see things happen in our world, when you see people half a world away suffer as their city is swept out to sea? How was it for the God who knew nothing but joy before this to suffer seeing our sorrows? What was it like for him? I remember when my son was just a little tyke. He loves these stories. Ask him sometime. He loves them. I remember when he was just starting to walk, you know, and he'd hold on to something and he'd be wobbling around a little bit, and then he'd do one of these, you know? You remember? And he'd be wobbling around a little bit. And I remember the first time he was outside doing this. And we were going to the car, and he's tootling along on the sidewalk, and augers in, right? Bit the dust. He took a knee, you know, all of that stuff. And you know the result, right? And I looked at him, and there it was. The first time he ever had blood coming out of his knee. It was only one little drop. One little drop. And I'm thinking to myself, man, if we had been in heaven last week, he would never have had to do this. He could have grown up in heaven never having experienced skinning a knee. And he's skinned a lot of knees since then, and fingers and head and all sorts of things, you know, like every other kid. Perfectly normal. And yet, that first drop of blood that came out of his knee, how much that broke my heart. Because I knew he had to be born into a world that suffered. You know? How much does it break Jesus' heart to carry our sorrows, to bear our grief? Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded, not because of something that he did, not because God was just angry with him, but he was wounded for our transgressions. Do we remember what these are for? Do we look back into the picture book? Do we look at the album and remember why Jesus did this and what he went through? He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement for our peace was upon Him. And by His stripes, we are healed. Every one of you who's ever watched their little son or daughter go down on the knee and that little drop of blood, how many times have you wished it was you that went down there instead? You know what I mean? You know exactly how I felt. All we, though, verse 6, like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Do we remember what Jesus has done for us? I want to take you back again and have you remember your baptism. Do you remember your baptism? You remember how excited you were to know how wonderful it was to accept Jesus' sacrifice for you. That He had borne your griefs, carried your sorrows, that by His stripes you were healed, and now you are accepting that and you were baptized. I remember my baptism. I think I might even got my hair cut a little. And I can remember thinking as I was baptized, Jesus' coming is so close, I'll never even get to celebrate a whole year of being baptized. Man, what a bummer. Except in heaven, that'll be cool. I was so excited. Do you remember? And it didn't matter who you met or what the conversation was. Hey, beautiful day, isn't it? Yeah, but you know how good Jesus is. Where did that come from? Right? Oh, my old car is a clunker. Yeah, but when we're with Jesus, it won't matter. You know, it didn't matter what the conversation was. It turned to Jesus, you know? It was exciting. We were with Jesus now. We were part of His family. We were children of God. Jesus had taken our sin away. It's beautiful. Everything is so wonderful. Do you remember that? That foot washing that we're about to go do, that is kind of like that mini baptism where we give Jesus all of the things that have kind of messed us up, you know, as we've been walking through the dusty path of life here for the last 3 months. And we wash that away, kind of a mini rebaptism, a coming back to Jesus again, a giving to Him of those things that have gotten us a little bit messed up. It's a time to make things right with people, to get back to rights with one another, with God and each other. That's what this time is about. That's why we practice the foot washing, so that we can have that relationship restored one with another to come back to Jesus fresh and clean. That's what that's about. That's why we do it at our communion time, so that we can get rid of the old again, recommit to Jesus, get that revival going in our lives again, and come back to that sweet relationship with Him. If you think about it, Jesus is telling us to remember. Bring it back to our minds. Bring it back to our memory, right? To remember. To bring it back to our memories. That's what this is about. To bring back to our memories all that Jesus has done for us. And right now, we're talking about revival. that is bringing back to life the vive part is going back to the idea of life. That's the root of that word. To bring back to life. To revive again. To come back to life. To remember what Jesus has done. And to revive us again. That's what the communion is all about. To come back to life in Christ. Both of them look back to what He has done in our lives, giving Himself on the cross, and how that has applied in our own lives, in our baptism, in our walk with Jesus. And so we have this remembering and revival coming back to us together. And so today, I want us to think about these things, this revival, and remembering Christ in our lives. As we partake of these emblems today, it's not just a little bit of bread and a little bit of juice. Sure, that's all they are physically. But they can be more than that if you remember. If you allow them to be the spark that brings you back to Jesus. That brings you back to life in Him. To that sweet communion you knew when you were baptized. To come back to Him. And so today, I want you to make this a time of looking back at what He's done for you. And looking forward, because this shows His death till He comes, right? And so this looks back, but it also looks forward. It looks forward to the coming of Jesus. It looks forward to Him redeeming us at last from not only the power of sin, but also from the consequences of sin. To redeem us from this dark planet. To take us home. To be with Him forever. We are remembering what the Savior has done for us, but we're also celebrating the new life, the revival that He has given us. And so, while we go to the foot washing, we allow the Holy Spirit to bring to our minds those things that may stand in the way between us and our brother or our sister. And we clear those things out. We get rid of the things that have come in between us. And then as we come back here, we remember the wonderful things Jesus has done for us. The love that He has had for us and that He is coming back for us. And we rejoice. This is not a time for mourning as we come to celebrate this table, but a time of joy. A time of joy at remembering what Jesus has done, and how much He has loved us. As Seventh-day Adventists, we practice an open communion. If you have a relationship with Jesus, and Jesus is the most important thing in your life, then we invite you to partake of this communion. Whether you're a member of this particular church or not is irrelevant, because Jesus gave His body and His blood for all those who believe in His name, wherever you happen to worship. And so we invite you to partake with us. Parents, we invite you to make that judgment for your children. You know their hearts. And so if they're ready for communion because they have a personal relationship with Jesus, then by all means, allow them to participate. But should they be too young to know Jesus as their personal Savior for themselves, not just because you've trained them that way, but because they for themselves have taken Jesus, then I invite you to please refrain from having them take the communion because we want to make sure that these emblems are carefully dealt with as people who know what they're all about, right? And so that's what we're inviting you to do as well. We participate here in the Seventh-day Adventist Church in a foot washing service because that's what Jesus enjoined us to do in the book of John. And so we invite you to join us with that as well. However, if you are uncomfortable with that, please feel perfectly free to remain here in the sanctuary and wait, and we will return and partake of the emblems.